Hello there, my sweet friend, and welcome back to another episode of Undigestible. It's Maya, and we are here together exploring all of those undigestible bits to life that keep us from peace, contentment, and calm, which is our true estate. And if you are or were like me, those undigestible bits are really centered around control, the mind and egoic structures of control that it has over our life, to really try and keep us safe and survive and keep all of the meaning that we have placed in life, all of our beliefs in life, all of our foundations in life safe and in place to make some kind of meaning and purpose out of it all. And it takes the form of overthinking and anxiety and frustration and worry and sometimes depression and hopelessness and despair, control, all or nothing thinking. They're all habits of mind and habits of emotion that are only aligned with mind and mind structures and ultimately fear. And dare I say it, not love. And that's what we're here to seek, is to unravel all of the undigestible bits that keep us from the highest expression of who it is that we are. Today's topic is a little bit deeper than, I shouldn't say deeper, that's kind of meaning, but it's a little different than we've talked about before. We're going to go to the place today that has no words, it has no face, it has no meaning, and it's only known to you deep down. I've never given much credence or thought too much. I kind of always brushed it under the rug when I've heard other teachers talk about the trends in humanity, so to speak, meaning how humanity is evolving as a whole, how consciousness is evolving as a whole. I've never given much credence to that. I've never given much, I've always kind of thought, well, this is my journey and this is just what I'm going on, and they're just putting patterns to it, which of course is all my mind. It's all ego that was approaching words of love, trying to control and manipulate it to fit into my experience. So it's no surprise that I heard it that way. But as I continue on my own path and journey, I can see this much more clearly. I can see the patterns in humanity's consciousness. And there's something that I just can't ignore right now. There's something that is right here for all of us. It seems as though there are people kind of coming out of the woodwork right now, going through this topic that we're going to talk about today. Some might call this the dark night of the soul, which is conventionally often known as seen as depression when it's not. And we'll dive into this topic here in a moment. And it's definitely a pattern that I'm experiencing and seeing, that I've been through it. And I don't think that there's ever like, here's your one dark night of the soul and here's this is it for you. Once you go through this, you're good. I don't think it works that way. I'm sure that there's many of them in heart training. If you go to mayanara.com, I teach heart training for those going through this. The surrendering and letting go process that's required of them. And we call these death experiences, death of who we thought we were, to allow the fullest expression of who it is that we really are to be birthed into the world, which is all that we have ever wanted. Now, this trend that I am seeing is, it seems on the outside for a human, it seems like the world is ending. It seems like depression. It seems like loss in big ways. And it's almost as if we're evolving at faster speeds now. And we're not even allowed to hold on to the things that really, truly aren't serving us. For those of you, you wouldn't be here listening to this if it wasn't you. For those of you that are really, truly ready for this, it's here for you and it's here now. And I have had people from clients to friends to people in the past that I haven't heard from in many, many years, and it's happening, and I've experienced it myself. And the first time that it happens, the first time, I know I keep referring to it, and it's probably driving you nuts. I'll say it in a moment. The first time that it happens is your biggest death experience, your biggest potential, no, your biggest opportunity for surrender, your biggest opportunity for letting go. So the dark night of the soul is, it can also, there's so many things here that we could say. I know that you'll hear one of them. So dark night of the soul is like a spiritual awakening or a phoenix rising from the ashes. There's many words for this. You'll have to put your own to it. We call it, like I said, death experiences. And many humans are coming to this point in your life. And what I'd like to do in this episode is simply give you a background or understanding of how I've come to know of what this is, what a death experience is. Like, what are the, for lack of a better word here, it's going to sound like a blog post, but the signs and symptoms. How do I know what are the signs and what are the symptoms that I may be experiencing that could be pointing to the fact that I'm experiencing a dark night of the soul, or that it's my time, my opportunity to surrender and let go and to rise from the ashes and become much more deeply awakened than I ever have before in my life. And this first one that I'm speaking of is often the first one that we've ever gone through. It's often triggered from a big loss, it kind of in our lives of some sort, or a big life event. It doesn't have to be external, but I'm seeing that it often is. Job losses, relationship losses, financial losses, gosh, even life losses, whether that be premature deaths or children, or even your own experience of death, not you know, physical death, but a near-death experience. That's very similar to what I had went through. And it comes in the form, in this very, very first opportunity, it's your very first opportunity to surrender, and it's your very first opportunity to let go. And if you haven't done this before, it will feel like your world is coming crashing down around you. And I'm here to tell you, my sweet friend, it is not. I promise you it is not. And I promise you that there is a better way. What you are feeling is real. And you don't need to talk it out, because more talking is just more of the head and more of the mind and more of the egoic structures trying to understand it, trying to put it into a box, trying to think positively around it, trying to change it, control it, manipulate it, and make it into something it's not. But the time for your thinking is over, and you can only feel your way through now. That is all you can do, is feel the fear or the terror or the worry or whatever, the depression, whatever the deep loneliness. That's the first step in surrender, is to feel the emotion. So let's go into these. You know what? I'm actually going to start with, I have a little list here of, I jotted down a few notes of things that I've noticed in myself and in people I know going through this. Before I do that, I was looking online, and Eckhart Tolle there's a little blog post he has on the dark night of the soul, and he was asked, have you ever experienced the dark night of the soul? Can you address this subject? And the very first paragraph talks a little bit about Eckhart Tolle's definition of it. He says, the dark night of the soul is a term that goes back a long time. Yes, I have also experienced it. It is a term used to describe what one could call a collapse of all perceived meaning in life, an eruption into your life of a deep sense of meaninglessness. The inner state, in some cases, is very close to what is conventionally called depression. Nothing makes sense anymore. There's no purpose to anything. Sometimes it's triggered by external events, some disasters, perhaps on an external level, the death of someone close to you could trigger it, or you had built up something that you had built up your life and then, or you had built up your life and gave meaning to it. And that meaning that you had given your life, your activities, your achievements, where you are going, what is considered important, and the meaning that you had given to your life for some reason collapses. That's the first paragraph of what he had wrote. And it's such a beautiful explanation of it. It's all that we have known, all that we've built a life around. Oftentimes, it's the egoic structures that we've built a life around. And oftentimes, ego in its the mind structures, habit structures, fear, it's built around itself. It's built a foundation. It's built structures around itself to keep itself safe and alive. And so if there's deeply rooted fears of lack of love, of unworthiness, of not being loved or getting loved or dying or death, it's built all of these structures around itself to prevent that very thing from happening. And add years, tack years on top of that. And if that deepest, darkest fear that is not real, by the way, and it is only mind born, it is only egoically born, if that deepest, darkest fear is given years to build, then it will come out in our behaviors, in our relationships, in our finances. As Eckhart Tolle says in the very last line, the meaning that you have given to your whole life, your activities, your achievements, where you're going, what you consider is important, the entire meaning of what you have built collapses, because the meaning of what we have built was based upon fear that is not real. We've built it trying to run from not being loved. We've built it around a deeply seated fear in loneliness. We've built it around a fear around a deeply seated fear of death or unworthiness. And years go by, and you can see a whole life that was built up around that, and all of a sudden it crashes. It crashes. And I'm here to share with you, my friend, this is not depression. It's a dark night of the soul where you are being gifted the opportunity to see that this is not who you are, that there is more to who you are, and that this piece that you have built up can be put down now. You can let go of it. You can surrender it, because it's not you. And the truth is that everything that you have always wanted in your life is on the other side of this. And so life is always leading us to love, always and in all ways. It is always working to give us exactly what we have only ever wanted. That's our heart's desires. And so it's always moving us in that direction. So sometimes when things that we don't think should be happening, they're actually the perfect thing that's happening. Here's a few of the signs and symptoms that I wrote down as well, and some things that I've noticed either in myself or people going through this too. It does always mimic like depression, sadness, stuckness, and despair. In my personal experience, I had a long time addiction to busyness, anxiety, control, stress, and you can keep that up for some time. Like, we can run to addictions. That's how we prevent the dark night of the soul or the death experiences or the phoenix rising from happening. that's how we prevent this from happening, because it's like we need to move in the direction of that which scares us most. The only way to is through. All that we want is on the other side of fear. And every time we bump up against that horrible, horrible feeling, we run in the opposite direction. We try and get a strategy. We try and fix it. We try and be busy. We try and control it. And it's all just mind's antics. And the further you progress on this journey, mine's antics get very cunning, very suave, very smart, very intellectual. It's like ego will grow with you. It's like, all right, well, she's up in her game. He's up in her game. I'm going to up my game too. They're not going to even know I was here. So busyness, anxiety, control, these are all addictions. And you can keep them up for a long time until you're just exhausted and you can't keep them up and you literally can't run anymore. So I almost see the depression, the sadness, the stuckness, the despair as something that oftentimes happens when our busyness, anxiety, and control go south. That's kind of how I see it. Because you can kind of feel the energy. I know that's that word, I hesitate because that word has a lot of resistance for some people, but you just feel it. Just feel busyness, anxiety, and control and strategy and fixing, right? It's very kind of neurotic, very heady, very I'm going to control it. And sadness, stuckness, despair, depression, it's like a screeching halt. It's a slowness there. If I know you can feel that, and it's that screeching halt is when the busyness, anxiety, control, and stress go south. So that's one symptom that I've noticed. Another one is that nothing seems to stay. Nothing seems to stay. There's a lot of grasping that happens. We're grasping for a love relationship. Maybe it's an addiction to food or busyness, or we're grasping at another strategy, or we're looking for another job, or we're going on social media and getting lost in Instagram stories. Like, they're grasping for something. Like, you're just trying to grasp for something. Your hand is just grasping. And nothing seems to stay. It almost seems like your hand gets slapped and you're forced to let go of the things that you're grasping and holding on to. So that's what I mean by nothing seems to stay, is it's just like your hand gets slapped and you have to let go of it and you literally can't hold on to it or it's going to be ripped away from you. Another one is extremes. And certainly this kind of lends into the very first point, the very first sign or symptom I kind of led into: extreme loneliness, extreme unworthiness, extreme sadness. It's always extreme. It's like where that comes to a screeching halt, and it's like inflammation of a less than desirable emotion that you've been carrying with you for a really long time. It isn't, that sucker is inflamed and it is extreme and it is painful. So that's extremes. Another one is a lack of interest, and you can't really find joy in things, not really things at all. And even things that maybe you've once found joy in, you don't find joy in it at all. This is where sometimes people will say, well, you're depressed. And that's, you got to be honest with yourself, you know, here at this fine juncture, is this lack of interest and no joy in things. It's another form of that grasping. It's like, nope, not going to go to this. Nope, not going to go to this. You are going to sit your butt down and you are going to deal with this. You don't have any other choice right now. That's what love's saying. Although they're being much, much kinder, much more compassionate. And the last one I have for you here is you're out of options. Like, you're grasping for things, you're reaching for strategies, and this is all of your head. This is all of your mind or your egoic structures. And even if there's more for you to grasp, most of the time there's not anything else. Like, you can't run to anything else. And even if there is something else for you to do, another relationship to go find, another job, another diet for you to pick up, whatever, you're exhausted. Like, there's extreme again, but you're extremely exhausted and you just can't do it anymore. So I wanted to share this with you today because I need you to know, you don't need to do anything. I don't need you to know anything. I want you to know. I desire for you to know. I invite you to know. That's the best one. I invite you to know that it may not be depression. And there are things going on right now in the world in a big way. And people are being asked to rise up out of their own ashes in a bigger way. If you really think about it, our whole world is starting to crumble. From the rainforest on fire to politics in our nation to there's so much turmoil. And the sad fact is that if it's not in our own backyard, then it has nothing to do with us, is most of humanity's mindset. And you don't become more aware of the bigger picture that is life and all of its wonder and beauty and love and purpose and non-purpose until you get over your own shit, until you meet that very first dark night of the soul and surrender your meaning, surrender all and let go of all of the meaning that you have placed on your life, thinking that maybe it's just about us and the ego mind has built up these structures and dynamics through behavior to keep itself safe and alive all of these years. And all of those structures, all of those pieces that are not you are coming crashing down. And here's the thing. If you think you are those pieces that are coming to crash down, if you associate yourself as all of the things that are dying, you will feel like you're dying. And I think I mentioned this to you in the last podcast. You're not dying because you're not those pieces. You're not those structures that are falling away, that this dark night of the soul, this phoenix rising, the spiritual waking, call it whatever you will, put whatever words you need to put to it. You're just being asked to allow that which is not you to fall away. That is what you are being asked. Will you say yes? And it's terrifying. And the only reason that it's terrifying in the very beginning, the first time that you go through it, the only reason that it's terrifying is because you feel as though, this is the mind feels as though it must let go of everything it has ever built, of everything it has ever known, and of its entire identity. So as long as you associate yourself with the ego mind, that is how it will feel. And that is why, slowly but surely, through a practice of just sitting quietly, resting in your center, you'll begin to remember who you really are. You'll begin to remember that peaceful, calm center. And even when everything seems like it's ablaze around you, that peaceful, calm center is always there. And it's there where all the answers are known. It's there that you are love. You don't have to go find love or learn love or seek love or know love. You are love. You are all of the things you're wanting. If you are fearful of money, you are money. You are the source of money. You are abundance. But so as long as you feel like it's something that if you believe in lack or scarcity, you've built up structures and dynamics your whole life to save, 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 put into the bank account, do as society would have me do, don't leave a job that I absolutely hate because I am in lack and scarcity. And that's all mind and egoic structures that are crumbling around you, when the truth is that you are the source of abundance. You are abundance, but it's keeping you separate from knowing that because of the structures that you have put in between. If it's love and relationships, if you feel that deep-seated loneliness and you're terrified of being alone, the truth is you haven't yet remembered that you are love and you are the source of your own love and connection. And we're over here trying to clean our house with a vacuum that's not plugged in. Is it this person? Is it this person? Is it this person trying to plug into external power sources of love? When in actuality, your whole life, you've built up these relationships that don't serve you. And you just forgetting that you are love. You are the source of a single most powerful relationship, which is that to yourself and your heart. But you can't see it because of what you've built up around it. With your health, if you don't feel worthy enough, if you don't feel, if you feel like you're a fraud, if you have a deep sense of unworthiness or distrust, then you're going to distrust, then you're going to build up all of these behaviors in your life that are grasping and getting and fixing. And if you don't know of your own wholeness, if you don't know that you are whole and that you are healthy and you are the source of those things, you will feel unwhole, you will feel separate than, and you will reach for more diets, more fixes, thinking that somebody outside of you has the magic plan and that maybe, just maybe, something's actually wrong with you. So I should go to the doctor and I'm going to feel a lot better when they do diagnose me with something, because at least then I'll know. You're separate. You're just separate. That's what ego mind is doing. It's separating you from you. And you can't be separate from you. You're always connected to you. But so as long as you're associating yourself with mind and fear and old egoic structures, and you're too much in the world, you're too much in the self and not in you and not in your heart and not in your truth and not connected, they'll always be grasping. They'll always be not enough. They'll always be lack. They'll always be separateness. There'll always be, I have a hole in me. And something's wrong with me, and I need to fill that. What the dark night of the soul and your phoenix rising, what these moments in your life, although they are painful, are asking of you is to let go of all of this nonsense, because it's not you. It's not you. And in your let go, that is your only job. In your let go and in your surrender of that which you are not, the lack and the separateness and the unworthiness and the feeling like you're unwhole. When you let go of all of that and it comes in the form of what's being ripped away, and all the things you're grasping at are the things that make you feel whole, the relationships and all these things that are making you feel whole. That's where your hand is just being smacked and you're letting go. You have to let go of it. You're literally being forced to rise up. And I can't think of a bigger blessing in life. It's temporary, and it will come out in the form of tears or some kind of purge, but it's only temporary. And what is on the other side is all that you have ever wanted, and you don't have to control it anymore. You don't have to control all of the things that you think you're not, and all of the fears and all of the worries that aren't real. You just don't have to. It's not your job. It's all taken care of. Just let it go and surrender. I will leave us here today, because I am going to leave another episode on surrender and letting go. Because I heard within myself, the moment I said to you, just let it go, I heard from you, but how? So we will leave another episode to the how of surrender and let go. Just know this, when you ask, how do I surrender and let go? That's more mind coming in for more control, because it's only mind that needs the how. You can't think your way through. You got to feel your way through. So what you can do now is simply be with your emotions. Just simply be with your, when they arise, see them. Don't go running for more addictions. Don't go grabbing for something. When you feel something, you feel it. When you feel something, you feel it without judgment. Without judgment. You've placed meaning on your life because of what you believe to be true. And when something does not fit into your meaning, when something is not authentic or congruent with your meaning, even if it is mind-derived or fear-derived, we place judgment on something. And it is often that the mind structure is out of alignment with the truth of who we are. And so when those two are not coherent, when the mind and the heart, when the head and heart are not coherent, it will feel bad. And that's okay. The first great step is to simply acknowledge the fact that I'm depressed and I feel like this is going to be this way forever. And that really sucks, without judging yourself. I have no idea where I'm at right now, and it feels awful. And I don't even know what my next right move is. And all I want to do is curl up in a corner and go to sleep for a week. Acknowledge what you're feeling without judgment and with compassion. And then you can start to discern between what is your mind and what is me. What is my mind and what is me? And then you get quiet. And then you start to feel. I'll create another episode for you on surrender and letting go and the how-tos of it, even though there are no real how-tos in surrender and letting go. But the big clue that I gave you today for it is allowing the feeling. Allowing the feeling. Maybe it's something that you felt when we were chatting here today, or when you were listening to this episode. Just allow the feeling. Allow the feeling of unworthiness. Allow the feeling of loss. Allow the feeling of depression, of sadness, of terror, of despair. Allow the feeling and feel it. It will feel like it's going to consume you and you're going to die. It will feel like that in the beginning. But I promise you that that's not the truth. I am always here for you. I love you so much.